bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
The first time I met my mother-in-law, I was already engaged to her son because he and I had met, and then we had a long-distance relationship, and then we got engaged. It was pretty quick. And so we met, and it was literally, hi, it's nice to meet you. What are we doing next? And I looked at my fiance, my husband now, and thought, that is really interesting. And then I noticed we went to dinner, and right after dinner, what are we doing next? What are we doing next? What are we doing next? And I noticed a lot of anxious behavior. And when I read The Gift of Maybe, Finding Hope and Possibility in Uncertain Times, I thought, oh my gosh, this explains her, because this need to know what's going to happen sort of left her paralyzed and not being able to enjoy the moment. And here to talk about her fantastic book is Allison Carman. Allison, welcome to Talk Healthy Today.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so happy to be here.
It's so great to have you on the program. Now, I did ask my husband if it's okay if I talk about his mother. She did pass away, and she is a lovely woman, and we love her, and we miss her. It was that one thing, though, that I found so difficult, that I remember for my daughter's first birthday, we went to this wonderful pizza place where everything's organic and from local farms, and it's just amazing. And she sat, like, stiff the entire time until she tried the pizza, and then I literally saw her body relax, and she still wanted to know what's next. Now, I know that you were like this, too. You talk about in the book, having to know exactly what's going to happen. Talk to us about the certainty and what that did to you.
Well, I always say I was addicted to certainty. If I didn't know what was going to happen next, I projected things were going to be bad or they weren't going to work out. And I think that was probably what was going on with your mother-in-law. And a lot of us do this. Because what happens, we're so afraid of the unknown as we write stories about what needs to happen for us to be okay. We might say, I need to have this job till I retire, or I'm going to have this amount of money in the bank when I'm 50, or my child needs to go to this college for them to be successful. And we hold on to these stories, and we make it like they're real, that this is what's going to happen, and this is the story of my life. But then something unexpected happens. We lose the job. We don't have the money. Our child doesn't get into that college, and we spin out of control, and we think life's not working out. And I spent a large part of my life like that, always writing stories to try to brace myself for what could possibly happen in the future, and then the unexpected happened and I fell apart. And I went on like this through, I became a lawyer, and then I worried about my job, and it just didn't end. I worried about my children. And then one day, I heard this beautiful Taoist story, and it was about a farmer. And this farmer had a horse, and his horse ran away. And his neighbor came by and said, you have the worst luck. And the farmer said, maybe. But the next day, the horse came back with 5 mares, and the neighbor comes by to the farmer and says, you have the best luck. And the farmer said, maybe. But the next day, the farmer's son is on the horse. He falls off and breaks his leg. And the neighbor comes by to the farmer and says, you have the worst luck. And the farmer says, maybe. But the next day, the army comes to take the farmer's son to war, and they can't take him because his leg is broken. And the neighbor comes by to the farmer and says, you have the best luck. And the farmer says, maybe. And the minute I heard that story, I actually felt a pop in my chest. Because I realized that the minute I didn't know, I thought I was doomed and things weren't going to work out. But this idea of maybe just opened me up. And it made me realize that life can unfold in many different ways. And it sounds so simple, but this idea of maybe takes you from this crowded place in your mind where you think you know the unexpected is bad, you're doomed, to this open place where you realize that maybe things can work out differently. Maybe you're okay. Maybe you're not supposed to know the answer. Maybe things will get better, or maybe something else. So it's really this beautiful tool that opens us up to all the hope and possibility that uncertainty really offers us.
You know, I saw a great interview that you did on YouTube, and you said the only reason we write this story is because we're worried that we're not okay. What do you mean by that, we're not okay? Do you mean like having self-doubt or past issues, or describe that for us?
We're worried that we're not safe. I always say we suffer because we think we know, right? And which means that we're suffering because we think we know what's going to happen next. And the reason why we do this is because deep down we're so scared that uncertainty is the reason why we're not safe. That because we don't know, that means things aren't going to work out or things are going to be bad. And we don't realize that if we're not happy today, uncertainty is our best friend. Because if you think about it, that's where our life's going to change. So in a way, we just got it mixed up. Uncertainty really is the place where all your hope and possibilities lie. There are new drugs if you're not well. There are new jobs. There are new relationships. So that's where everything in our life is really going to happen. But in this moment, we can't see it. And because we can't see it, it makes us feel vulnerable. like we're not okay. And reality is that what we don't know is really the most beautiful place for us to sit, because that means we're open to all that could possibly be.
Oh, I completely agree. You know, you mentioned the word hope a moment ago. Another thing you said in that interview, it's not hope that causes suffering. It's the attachment to how things have to happen.
Yes.
And to let go of that is huge. And I know for you, you wanted to go to NYU for law school, and you, as a matter, and you were so dependent on it that, and then you were waitlisted. You didn't have other options, right? But then you were able to get into one of them, and you met your husband, and you met your two closest friends, and wonderful things happen. And being open to that maybe really is what life's about. It makes all the difference than clinging to something that is just going to ruin you, right? If you just get so caught up in it.
Right. And the attachment is just our fear. And it's not like we can't set a goal. Like, there was nothing wrong with me saying, I want to go to NYU law school. But the thing about it is that I became so attached that was the only way it had to happen. Because what happens in life when your goal doesn't happen, that's the time to say, well, maybe it'll happen a different way. Or maybe there's another school I can go to. Or maybe there's something I need to learn. So instead of shutting down when that exact thing doesn't happen, we open up. And when we open up, we realize that life always offers us another opportunity. But the minute you shut down, you turn your back on everything that's possible. And what's even worse than that, we suffer. The thing is, when we shut down, we suffer as if we're already experiencing the worst thing that could possibly happen in our lives. So maybe it's just this tool that reminds us uncertainty is our best friend. There's always hope. There's always possibility. And there's always something else for us to experience in life.
Now, when you heard this story about the farmer and it moved you so deeply, what were some of the steps you took to make this maybe happen? Did you just say to yourself, oh my goodness, I need to look at things a different way, and I'm going to think about the word maybe and think about the possibilities? I mean, was there some information in between? Was there some other work? Talk to us about that.
Well, what happened is that I went home that day, and it wasn't even like conscious. Like, I remember feeling the mm-hmm. pop and like this opening. Mm-hmm. And when I home that day, and I had actually moved out of the law. I was a lawyer, and I moved into more business consulting, business coaching, and I didn't have a lot of clients. And I remember I was home that night thinking, I don't have a lot of clients. I'm not going to make enough money. And all of a sudden, this idea of maybe started to come into my mind. Well, maybe that's not true. Maybe that thought's not true. Maybe things are the way they're supposed to be. And as I started to say these maybe statements to myself, I felt this little relief, a little pop, a little less stress. So it was kind of like I went into it slowly, and at first it was just this tool to help me alleviate my stress, and it had just happened that night. But over time, the more I used it for my stress, I realized that I was more present, because all these future projections were being cut down by the idea of maybe. The minute I realized, well, maybe that thought's not true, I would land back in the moment. So then I was more present, and I was more present, I realized I was more open, I felt more joy, and then, you know, life really starts to change when you make yourself available. And then over time, every life experience teaches me another level of maybe. I mean, we were talking about before we got on the show that parenting, I mean, if anything has taught me anything about maybe, it's about parenting, because we're attached to our children. And mm-hmm. that's just how it is. I rarely meet a parent who doesn't have this deep attachment for their children to be okay. That's all we want to know in life. So with this idea, maybe it made me see that all the suffering is not from the attachment. Part of the suffering is from our inability to deal with the unknown. Because sometimes we're in the moment and we see something happen with our children. Maybe they don't feel well, or they're having a struggle in school. Yes. They're being bullied. And it's not just that need for them to be okay. It's also us projecting, this is never going to change. How will they ever make their way in life? And this idea maybe shows us, well, maybe something will change. And maybe I need to call the doctor, or maybe I need to just sit present. Maybe I need to, I don't know, think of another activity they could do. And what happens is that the more you see there's maybe, you land back in the present, and there you are with your child. And when you're present, that's where ideas happen. That's where you're creative. And also that's where the moment is most enjoyed. So for me, maybe out of all the places it's helped me is parenting. So every day I learn something else about this idea, and it just keeps building on it every day. And the more I let go and the more I open up, the more my life changes, and most of all, the more peace I feel in everyday living.
Well, I really needed this when my daughter was an infant. I mean, this is a child that slept 5 hours in a 24-hour period. I still remember my husband called the hospital, and before he could even finish, he was about to ask a question about sleep, and they immediately assumed that he was calling to say, oh, don't worry, you know, babies sleep a lot. And he said, no, my child sleeps 5 hours. And they were shocked. I mean, we could not get this child to sleep. She was so overstimulated. And it wasn't like she wasn't tired. She cried constantly. I mean, later we found out she's on the autism spectrum, but It was hell. I mean, absolute hell. She would only sleep on top of me for short periods of time. And I had no maybe because this went on for years. And but if I even had had that sliver of maybe, it would have been nice because I honestly felt like this is my life for the rest of my life. If someone had said to me, well, when she's four, you're going to get into radio, you're going to get back into health media because I used to do TV, you're going to be able to work again. I would have said, you're insane. I'm stuck forever. I will never be able to move because this child will be 25 and still napping on me. Like this is my life. So I think when you're in it, but I mean, but when it goes on and on, like literally she didn't sleep the night till she was six. How do you hang on to that maybe when you are in a situation that just seems like it's just grinding you down?
Well, you have to separate the moment from the projection. And again, when it's our children, it is very difficult. So what you say is, so here hard. I am in this moment, and I am suffering. The thing is about it is that maybe doesn't say we're not going to suffer. And that's what I love about it. It's not like, you know, positive thinking is very difficult for people because you start off the day thinking, this is going to be a great day. Everything's going to get better. And the minute things don't get better, if you're afraid of the unknown, you're going to spin out of control. And what's so great about maybe, it allows it. It allows, I'm having a miserable experience. I'm not sleeping. My child's not feeling well. And then so you allow the experience, but at the same time, you realize that the next moment is unknown, and the next moment after that, and the next week, and the next year. And because it's unknown, you know things are going to change. And within that change is hope and possibility that things can get better, or something else will happen. So you allow yourself to hold the hope even though you're experiencing whatever you're experiencing in the moment. So we need to remember the maybe. And for me, like you said, that little slither, all you need is a little light to shine in the room sometimes. And that alone will just kind of keep you going to know that one day maybe things will get better, or maybe there'll be another way to deal with it. So I get exactly what you're saying. And so it's a difference between seeing what's happening in the moment, what fear is in the moment, what suffering is in the moment, but what part's the projection? Because the projection is the part that we could kind of have a different experience with. And that, again, that gives us the hope and that little light, that little slither of light that can shine through.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because right now while I'm working, she went to the movies with a friend. And her friend's grandmother took him to the movies. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like just when I was reliving, as I'm talking about this, how hard it was. And then I thought she would never be able to do anything normal. She's at the movies, you know? Right. I mean, it's so knowing that, I mean, so much has changed. It's been hard work. We still have challenges, but having the maybe. Now, how do I get my daughter who has a lot of anxiety, and if you're listening and you have children with anxiety, to get them to adopt this gift of maybe? Because when something goes wrong for her, she is so black and white. Now, part of that's the autism. So I think it's a little trickier because they do have black and white thinking. And when she has a bad day, her life is ruined forever. And there's no maybe at all. So I know you don't work with kids with special needs, but I'm just curious for everybody. And if you do have any tips for us.
Well, it's so interesting. That's something I didn't expect, that the special needs community love the book. They love the book, the moms, the parents. Instead of at all the years, that was something I didn't expect because I was more, when I began this journey, I came from the business realm. And over time, the parenting realm is really where I hear from people the most. Like it helps parents deal with their own suffering, but also children as well. And you have to break it down. I mean, if a child is 12, 14, when they start to get older, you can actually talk to them about it. And the thing that I do with my children, because I also have a child that suffers from anxiety, is I ask, what's your biggest fear? And she could say to me, I'm worried I'm not going to do well in my finals. I'm worried I'm not going to get into a good college. Things aren't going to work out. And then I ask her, are you absolutely certain that thought's true? Do you know 100% for sure that things are not going to work out? They're not going to get better. And she'll always say to me, no, I don't know for sure. And then I say, if you don't know for sure, then there has to be maybe. And I make her write down maybe statements. And sometimes they're really broad. Maybe things will get better. Maybe what's happening is good. Maybe there's something left for me to experience in this moment. I mean, my daughter's 17, so the maybe statements will be more sophisticated than a 12-year-old. And then specific things, you know, maybe I need to study. Maybe I need a tutor. Maybe. So for her, what she'll do is now she'll realize that, hey, I'm not stuck. I don't know the answer, but maybe everything can get better. And when children are younger, what you could do is you actually can draw a circle and have them and say, this is everything that could possibly happen in life. And then what you do is every time they tell you about a fear, you make a little circle within the big circle. I had the worst day and things can't get better. I didn't get a good grade. My grades are never going to get better. I don't have any friends today. And so there are a couple of little dots in the big circle. But then you say, okay, well, there's still this extra space in this circle. What else could happen? And you kind of guide them. And so they visually see, okay, my life's this big, grand, open place. And there are a couple of dots on there that are negative. But what are the positives? And you make them fill up that circle with different thoughts. And you teach them that's the maybe. So I find the visual also is very helpful for them to start to shift. And that might be something that someone like your daughter can do. And you sit with them, they see, oh, wow, life has changed. Life has maybe.
Oh, I love that. I think that visual idea makes so much sense. You know, there's something in the book you talk about called linear thinking. And I love that little story you share about the guy who's, you know, on top of the roof, there's a flood and a helicopter comes by and a firefighter comes by. And, you know, the guy's like, no, it's, you know, I'm going to stay here. The Lord will save me. And I love how it says when he got to heaven, he asked God why he hadn't helped him. And God shrugged. I sent a neighbor, a firefighter and a helicopter. Yeah. What more do you want? I've heard that before. I thought that was so funny. So how does that connect to linear thinking?
You know, it's so funny. Every time I read that little story, I laugh because it's like we're always forgetting, right? We're always forgetting that because we're so sure. Like linear thinking says, this is the way everything has to happen for my life to be okay. I need to get this particular job. I need my marriage to work out. I need this, need that, everything. And if this doesn't work out, it's game over. And so what's so interesting is that we don't realize that sometimes all these beautiful things are happening in our lives, but we can't see them because we're so busy telling the story that life has to work out one way. And that's why maybe is so beautiful, because every second, no matter what's happening, you're like, okay, life has maybe. I have no idea what this means. I have no idea where this is going. But I know life changes, and within that change is hope and possibility. So it alleviates all the suffering, because when we don't get the one thing we thought we needed, we realize maybe it's still okay. And that's my favorite maybe statement. Maybe everything is still okay. You're just like, oh, okay, it didn't work out, but life is so big and so grand, and there's so much that could possibly happen. And that's what maybe is really saying. There's no game over. Yeah. You know, life is not one lane on the highway. And so just remembering that, you just like relax your whole body and you open up, and where do you land? You land in the moment and you experience the now for all that's good, I guess all that's bad. And then you recognize that it'll change. And thank goodness things change, right? The thing we're most scared of is really our salvation, right? I mean,
it's true. Yeah, change is reality, and it's necessary, and it's good, and it's bad, and it's maybe, and it's all the in-between. You had mentioned in that interview that I saw you on YouTube that there was a gentleman who read your book, and he recently had lost his wife. And he said, I hate this book, because he's in this horrible state of grief. Talk to us about that. I thought that was interesting. And what's going on with him now?
Well, that story really threw me. I'd given him my book. He lost his wife. I gave him the book, and he came up to me a few weeks later and said, I hate your book. It's the most book I ever read, because my life's never going to get better. My wife passed away, and that's it for me. And for a long time, I grappled this idea, is there a time where life doesn't have maybe? Is there a time where it's just it? This is how it is, and there's no more opening. And for a long time, I sat with that, and I played with it. And 2 years later, 2 years, so I went on with this thought for about 2 years about this one aspect of maybe. He came up to me and said, Allison, you know something? I actually have to tell you that I loved your book. He said, I didn't realize it, but as my life went on, things changed for me. And now he has a girlfriend. And what's so interesting is that it doesn't mean that he loves his girlfriend more than he loved his wife. It just meant that he said, at one point in my life, I realized here I am, and maybe there's something left for me to experience. So it wasn't good or bad or better or worse. It's just here I am, and maybe there's something left in this moment. And that experience, I've seen it. It's happened when I've had friends whose children have been really sick, where there was nothing left but the moment. It came down to holding a hand or a smile. And for him, it came down to what else can be. And so he now is. I mean, he's much happier than he was 2 years ago. I've not sat down with him and said, hey, you know, is life better or worse? It's not about that. His life has moved on. He's very active now. He went back to work. He has a very full life. And that idea of maybe gave him the ground to just peek into something else. Not the same, but maybe there's something left. And it was very, very profound to see at any time in life that we always have maybe. And it might not be what we planned, and it might not be what we liked, but if we're here, then there's something left for us, and maybe helps us find that.
You know, I'm thinking about another very difficult time in my life where I really needed this gift of maybe. When I was in my 20s, my mother died, and then 6 months later, my favorite grandfather died, and then 6 months later, a six-year relationship broke up, and then 3 months later, my dad remarried, and I just felt like the other shoe is going to drop at any second, and I kind of had trouble feeling comfortable and feeling safe, and I usually don't have anxiety, but I did have a lot of anxiety then, and I kind of felt like this is my life. Everybody I love is going to die or disappear, or things are going to change, and if I had had that maybe again, so I think for people listening, if you're going through a hard time, just hold on to the maybe and definitely get the gift of maybe. But yeah, I mean, that was tough. That, you know, and so when you're going through a lot of trauma all at once, or one thing after the other, it's easy, I think, to get into that negative mindset.
Right. Because it's hard to see that it's going to change, that the future will be any different than it is today. And that's what maybe says. Maybe says the future will be different than today. And that little thing, if you're suffering, it just lets you kind of open up to this little ray of hope. And yes, you have to feel what you feel. But there's going to come a time like that fellow where you might say, okay, here I am. And what's next? What's left? What's possible? So yeah, maybe it's very, very profound, and it really changes how we think. Instead of the unknown being our enemy, the unknown becomes something that we could see comfort in, because we realize that change could bring something new to our lives.
Well, Allison, tell us how you work with people now, because I think what you do is amazing.
Well, sometimes, you know, I blog a lot. I write a lot for a couple of large online magazines, and I work in groups, but also I work with individuals, and it really depends how the person is suffering. I mean, sometimes they're suffering because their business is not working out the way they thought, and sometimes they're suffering because a marriage has ended or they're having a problem with their child. So it really depends on the circumstances, but usually, no matter where I turn, no matter if I'm giving a speech or a webinar or I'm helping someone individually, people struggle with the unknown. They struggle with their relationship with uncertainty. And that's really where most of the suffering comes, because what's ever happening in their life, they can't imagine it being different. And once you start to heal that piece, and once you start to bridge that place where you're willing to engage in the unknown without the worry, without the stress, with more opening and joy, life just changes. I can't even explain to you, like, I don't know if it's because you weren't seeing other things before in your life or you're actually energetically opening, but it's almost like a miracle. Living in maybe is just a new perspective, but it changes everything in your life.
It really does. The book is so fantastic. Allison, tell us all the ways we can learn more about you and your fantastic book, The Gift of Maybe, Finding Hope and Possibility in Uncertain Times.
Well, the book can be found in all major bookstores, independent stores, and of course online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I have my own blog, but I also write for Psychology Today, Mind Body Green, Huffington Post. So, you know, I write about other things other than maybe, but if you're someone who's addicted to certainty, you'll find a lot of my stuff online to read, and hopefully it'll help, open people up to more joy and hope.
Now, do you work with people over Skype or over the phone, or is it just a
person? I work with people sometimes over the phone. It just depends. Like, sometimes I'm doing, like, larger things, webinars, but yeah, I work with individual clients as well. And I also have a business consulting background, accounting, law. So it just depends what people need at the time. And sometimes I'm working more with parents and sometimes businesses. It just depends. I think because I'm always in the space of maybe, whoever I work with, wherever they need, I meet them there. So yes, I do work with people over the phone and Skype sometimes as well. It just depends. Sometimes people like, you know, to see my face, and sometimes they like to just talk over the phone.
Well, I think you're fantastic. Again, Allison Carman, The Gift of Maybe. I want to thank everybody for listening to Talk Healthy Today. If you want to subscribe on iTunes, I think that would be a great idea. You can like, rate, and review. It makes a big difference, brings more listeners to the show, gets the word out, and other people can enjoy this fantastic interview. I want to thank everyone for listening again, and stay well.